Goss Island is brought to you by F&F Fashion at Tesco. Now, I love a good gawk in F&F when doing my Tesco shop at the weekend, and they've got some lovely bits in store to suit any occasion. I've recently bought some fab pieces myself and love how comfortable, stylish and versatile their clobber is, especially in the warmer weather. Whether you're hosting a Love Island party or going on holidays, with availability in over 80 stores nationwide, F&F at Tesco has you covered this summer. Hello and welcome back to Goss Island. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but it is our last episode. It's been a whirlwind for me doing what I do love best, which is Love Island and reality TV. We have an absolutely amazing guest. We save the best to last.
I have to say that.
Former Islander and our Irish Islander as well, Matthew McNabb. You were on a couple of...
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. Here. Thanks for coming on. So you, Matt, you were on a couple of years ago on the Summer Love Island, and you were great. Obviously, like, it's always great to see an Irish contestant in, and you really delivered as well. It was kind of, I suppose, the most memorable moment for me was the kind of, like, obviously you came in as a bombshell, you coupled up with Kaz, and there was that kind of like situation, well, I'll let you tell us about it, but where she was kind of gaslighting you, and then you just in a kind of respectful but direct way, you just cut it off, and it was
the
really
Irish way.
Yeah, the Irish goodbye. Yeah,
exactly.
So do you want to tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, I suppose I came in at a Casa Amor, and it was kind of a weird process because we were replacing the guys who had been there the whole time, and so you're a little bit of imposter syndrome coming in, and it was just like, wow, this is crazy. So then we started to get into it, and obviously kick things off, Kaz, and then it sort of, I saw little bits of things that I didn't like, and I was just like, it got to the point where I was like, you know what, I don't care, like, we're done.
And that was yeah.
It. Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to elaborate more on that, but I'm quite a straightforward person. Like.
Yeah. So you don't mind being kind of like direct in your opinion now about Love Island and just like kind of your experience and kind of like what I'm really interested in, I know a lot of the listeners will be, is like what goes on behind the scenes and what kind of like what happens to make everything happen on the show. Kind of obviously we see an edited 45 minutes, but like you're there all day, kind of like being herded around nearly like cattle, kind of like, and sent a bit mad. So I'm really dying to kind of delve into that. But first question for you is, what made you apply?
Well, I didn't actually apply. I was just back from California. I lived there for 2 years and I had a class life out there. I was just traveling. I was just doing hiking. I was working and stuff. And one of my friends was like a really good photographer. So he was like taking pictures of me out in this class, like, amazing backdrop and stuff, so maybe that's how they picked up on me. They saw my Instagram and the class photos, because I only had like 1500 followers or something at the time. I wasn't an influencer or anything, and so I just came back because my visa expired, and just I got a message from ITV casting studio saying would think it'd be perfect for a show. So they're like, can you fill in this form? And I was like, yeah. And then, can you talk to this person? I was like, yeah. And they're like, can you do this video? And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, can you talk to this person and these people? And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, you're going over to Spain. And that was it.
So you were kind of like, I suppose you were kind of over there and you're like, you didn't want your adventure to end, basically. So you're like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do
it. Pretty much. I said this all along. I was like, I went into Love Island for the adventure. I was like, life's an adventure. You got to try new things and do cool things. Like, so if something came of it, then I was like, happy days. If not, then I was like, you know what? Something I could say I did.
Yeah, and I suppose like, and like a lot of people, like, I'm not trying to be mean saying this, but a lot of people that do go on Love Island are a certain type of person that wants to be an influencer. They're an attention seeking type of character. Now, that's not a dig. I'm an attention seeker myself. So like, do you know what I mean? If I was straight, younger and better looking, I would definitely go for Love Island. So there's no shade. But like, you certainly came across as a person that wasn't in it for that. Yeah. Like, you came across as like, as I suppose, a bit of an adventure that was looking for an experience.
Yeah, and I suppose I just can't act that well. So I was like, I'll just be myself. And like, if people don't like me, then it's not great that people don't like me, but like, I'll get on with my life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always raised, like, I'm raised in good manners. My parents are very good people. Like, so I try to be as kind to people as I can. And I've got a very kind of like, I don't know what the word is, but just a plain, looking way of life. Like, if somebody's kind to me, I'm gonna be kind to them and just carry that forward and just had try to have a fun time. Like, you know, that's the thing I was about to say. I was like, Love Island now is very dramatic. And I'm like, I loved Love Island back in the day when it was just funny. Yeah. It was so much more fun. But yeah, things change.
Yeah, no, there used to be the comic relief isn't there as much. There's some characters over the last few years in the current series that do bring that.
Yeah.
But I think the essence of that is kind of gone, and like there is, you can always sense when there's the real dramatic moments, mm-hmm. or there's the kind of like the stage kind of forced ones as
exactly.
well. Did you watch last year when you had Ek and Sue kind of Davide, where she kind of like, you could see where she was coupled up with someone, and then he said he had no interest anymore. She's like, oh yeah, fine. 2 minutes later, she came back like a whirlwind. Obviously, producers had a word in her ear, and then she was an actress by trade, so she came in and did a great performance then after. So you can, even though we did still love it, was entertaining, you could see that it wasn't natural.
Yeah, and I think you can tell that from my love. Like, you can tell people that aren't being real, so it's like, it's nearly like it kind of defeats the purpose in a little bit, you know, because if there is moments where people are upset or whatever, then just let them happen or whatever. But if you try to like kind of like stage it a little bit, then it's just doesn't come across as authentic, and it just comes across as kind of, I don't know what to say.
And is there anyone from your season that you think weren't being real when they're on the show, or they're...
Oh, I don't like to call ideas. No, actually, to be honest, like, there was a lot of people in my season which were really, really nice people and stuff, and they were a lot of fun, and we had a lot of fun behind the scenes. Like, I know it's like 45 minutes of a show or whatever, but that was 24 hours for us, and it was great crack in different parts. Like, and I think you've seen that in the like behind the scenes thing in this Saturday.
On the Saturday,
it was so much crack. But yeah, I think there is people definitely that go in with an intention to like just, you know, get as many followers as possible and kind of get their name in headlights as much as possible. But
who do you think from your year was like that?
No,
come on, I thought you were direct, man. Come on, like,
I'm also kind to other people as well.
Yeah, just, what I really want to know is like what's the crack in like a day? Like, how involved are the producers in like and what you do and like who you talk to?
Yeah, the way I would say it is, it's kind of like your words are your own and some of your actions are your own, but maybe they would push you in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Like, that's some ways. Like, it's not like go say this to this, you know, but it's kind of like, you know, maybe you should
planting seeds.
Like, so maybe it's like a kind of confidant rather than a stage puppet master. I don't know.
So it's kind of like reel you in and kind of chat and kind of
just
slightly manipulate your thinking.
Yeah, they're very smart.
Yeah. And so would you, like, on a typical day, like, how much time would you spend with the producers?
I would say maybe, like, you would have, like, maybe 1 to 2 chats with a producer, like, kind of in and about. Just, some of them could just be asking how you are and what's the crack and how you're feeling and stuff. Like, so it wasn't very, you know, like, hands-on in that regard, but it was, like, they would give you a gentle nudge in a certain direction, like, which is...
And are they just milling around the villa all the time, in and out, kind
of?
Like,
well, with our season, it's very different to ones now, I would say, and ones previous, because ours was during COVID, so they had to be very careful, and they had to be on the outside and stuff, and it was, like, the voice of God. So it was, they were talking, they were like, Matthew, can you come outside or whatever? And actually, a lot of them were over in London, I believe, when we were there, so... I think it's very different now, where apparently before us, they used to go walk through the villa and like be chatting away to people and just do all that. But now it's like, well, I don't know if it's different now, but for us, it was different. Like,
and what did you used to get a day off, or was it like half a day, or?
Yeah, I think we got a day off, but for us, they used to bring you out to like the local town or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring you out and about the island and stuff, which would have been sweet, but we were just kind of locked in the villa the whole time, like, so it wasn't as great. We got a McDonald's, but I'm not a big fan of McDonald's, like, so.
And what would you do, just like, cameras are off at this time, is it, and you just
just chill? We're doing like face mask and stuff. Faye actually did my eyebrows, like,
really,
yeah, which is quite funny because we had that big argument and stuff in that scene where she told me off and stuff, like, but we were actually quite good friends and stuff behind the scenes and stuff, yeah. You know?
And when you're kind of like, when you're filming and you, kind of before we start this, you're kind of mentioning like, you'd wake up in the morning, the kind of blackout blinds would be down and then the really, really bright lights are switched on. Was that kind of really like, do they do things certainly to kind of like send you a little bit mad so you can kind of, you're more reactive?
Yeah, I definitely think reality TV in general is really interesting because it's kind of like trying to make a person as uncomfortable as possible so that they can be as emotional as possible, and maybe that emotion makes them like talk bad about somebody, or maybe that emotion makes them like more fun in certain circumstances. Maybe just drives people a little bit crazy. So I think it's really interesting seeing how different people react to it. Like, so that's one of the things, whereas like they would, in the mornings there'd be complete blackout and then it would just be like boom, like the strongest white lights you ever seen. That's why everybody's got the glasses and stuff. But even like not knowing the time and like just being in a room with like 20 people when you're sleeping is like enough to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, one thing I always wanted to ask as well, like, see if like 20 people in there like farting during the night, is there an awful smell in the room in the morning when you wake up? Like, it always looks smelly.
It actually is. And the cleaners weren't there when we were there, so we had to clean everything ourselves. So the villa was actually pretty rank at that stage. And I hate changing bed sheets. I absolutely hate changing bed sheets, but we had to do it. And we had to do it like I think there was one week where we had to do it like 3 or 4 times. Not for the reasons you might expect, because we had to change beds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can sleep in the same bed that, you know, somebody else has slept in.
And like, it must be mad, like, because you've no contact to the outside world. You don't have, you've your phones that you have in there. That's just texting each other and sending taking pictures. You can't like access the internet.
Yeah.
You can't even like text another number that's not one of those.
Yeah.
And you don't know the time a lot of the time.
No.
You're probably, were you up late? Kind of like, do you know the nights?
There's 100%. There's one day I remember pretty vividly. Was like the sun was nearly coming up when we were finishing the day.
Stop.
Yeah, which is like, and that was actually, what was it, Island Vibes Club we went to that time. So that was the night before we went to that. So it was like we were literally in bed as the sun was coming up, and then they woke us up and it was morning time. I knew it was morning time by like the dew on the ground and stuff, like that sort of morning smell outside. And then we got brought to that Island Vibes Club, and so we're at that all day
on about 2-3 hours sleep max.
Yeah, and the sun was so strong that day, so people were like, they felt rough, and we had to do that for the whole day outside. And then it was nighttime when we were coming back. It was like an hour and a half drive. Got back, and I would say it would have been in my head, it was about 11 or 12. Everybody was absolutely wrecked. And they're like, all right, get ready. You're going to go outside, you know, because at nighttime it would be like the whole process would be to like get ready and make yourself look sharp and stuff and go out to the garden. And then that's where drama happened. Like, so they're like, we thought when we were coming back from that, we're like, oh my God.
Bedtime.
So we were just like, oh, thank God. But then they're like, nope, you're getting ready and things. So that's when I went on that date with Priya that night as well. So I was absolutely exhausted. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
And you have to chat to someone you don't know, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able for that.
No.
And what do you do for Grobe? Like, do you know, you're gone all day filming. Like, is
they brought in outside caterers when we were there. Oh, so yeah, they would have these big things. You know the worst thing about Love Island? They had no meat Mondays, and I'm sorry to vegans and vegetarians, I respect you and stuff, but like, I can't do it. I need like steak, I need chicken, I need protein in it.
So that was forced on you, was it?
Yeah, you had to do that on Mondays. Jeez. I know.
And like, was there anyone in your year where like, do you know, like there's the lack of sleep and you're kind of going here and there and you're up all day. Who affected that? Like, what kind of like it came to rouse? Did you see anyone crumble that like from that it led to like drama on the show? Because you could see they were pushed.
Oh, naturally, everybody was like it in some way. Like, some were more subtle than others with regards to it. Like, but like, I think if you're aware of it, I was aware of it because I'm not that loud. I don't talk that much generally. Yeah. So I kind of like sit back and look and think and stuff. And I noticed it pretty quickly. So it was really interesting. You just seen how people would like break out and rise and stuff. And, you know, I think that That was the night after that one where we didn't sleep very well. That was maybe around that time was when Faye kind of lost it with the popcorn, movie scene and stuff. So I'm wondering, is that related or was that, maybe it was before it. It was around that
they
time.
They do it near a kind of a like movie night or something where So you mentioned the row there you kind of had with Faye, and I know Faye was kind of like a big character the season and kind of she's kind of quite volatile kind of sometimes in a situation. What was that like, that kind of row?
Yeah, that was an interesting one, like, because I was so relaxed. I was chilling, like, with the popcorn and stuff. I was having so much fun at that movie night because the lads were absolutely freaking out. And I wasn't laughing at the scene. I was, like, the scenes on the TV. I was laughing at them freaking out beside me. So it was so funny. But then kind of that whole argument happened. And I didn't really... I was pissed off just because I was, like, it's such an overreaction. And I was just, like, it was riling me up a little bit more and more. And I was, like, she was just shouting all different people, and I was like, be respectful of people, like, but yeah, I think she actually apologized to me there recently. She at the Gossies, she came up to me and said sorry, I shouldn't have acted like that to you and stuff, like, but I didn't actually hear what she said. I heard her give off to me and stuff at the first, and then she said something under her breath, which I didn't hear, which apparently was pretty bad.
What was it?
I don't know. It was something like, you're a nobody or something like that there. Or I don't know what it was. Maybe you can correct me on that. And that's what she apologized to me for. So that was funny.
Yeah.
But I'm real like my dad. My dad's really funny because, see, if he has an argument with anybody, like, he just ignores him. Like, blank ignores him. I've seen him in front of people at, like, dinners and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They ask him a question and he just, like, looks at them like this here.
So you're going to do it to me when I ask the next
question. Yeah, pretty much. Like, so I was like, that was the way me and Faye interacted for, like, I think maybe a week.
Oh, you just didn't talk at all?
I didn't talk to her at all.
Oh, go away.
Yeah, so it was funny. Like,
And what kind of thought the ice then with her?
I think just time, maybe just, like, saying, no, whatever. Time heals all, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not always, though. It depends what's
going on. One other question. Do you know when you're at the recoupling and people have the speeches and that? Like,
yeah.
The producers must help some people with, like...
I think they're told. So originally, you're told if you're doing a speech to do it that morning. So the people are practicing it and all that day or whatever. But yeah, I think when those recouplings are the toughest thing ever, because this is my real first introduction to TV, and I think it was obviously like recoupling day two I arrived, or day three, and you're standing there for 2 hours, like standing for 2 hours in the same spot. I'm like, oh god. And they're like, can you just like redo that line because you didn't say that very well. So,
but will you have already picked or said who you're recoupling up with, and they're like, right, scratch that, do it again? No,
I don't think. Well, yeah, they would. Yeah, exactly. No, maybe I can't remember if it was this. You say no, it was. So you would say your speech first. I'm choosing this person because blah 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 blah. Everybody knows who it is, but then they say the name at the end. So they would just get them to repeat the name maybe once or twice. Mm. But like, it was mostly from that speech.
But you know, in some instances where like someone might pick someone, it might be a little bit shocking where it's not.
Yeah.
Always like, it'll like, if that happened, then they'd have to do it again. Would people have to pretend to be shocked again or pissed off? Like sometimes, is it kind of roll the tapes and do it again? You're like,
you know what? I can't actually remember that much, but I remember, the Millie and Liam one was always the most dramatic one. I think it was really funny. It's just so mad. I just see people absolutely freaking out, and that was first take. There was no other ones of that there. But no, generally it's mostly I choose this person that had to be redone.
So on the show at the minute now, the kind of the drama, kind of latest drama coming out of some couples, if they're kind of like thinking if the other couples are genuine or if someone in it is a bit kind of fake and only kind of pushing to kind of stay on the show to the end. Like, what, like when you're on your season, could you tell if like someone was in one of the couples, they weren't really feeling it, or you felt like maybe they were like, oh yeah, we really like each other, but you felt like maybe both subconsciously were faking it and pushing it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's, I think it comes, shines through to the audience very clearly though. It's like, there's ones in my season where basically like they did not talk to each other for the whole day, and then when the cameras were on, like it was like
really,
yeah.
So they'd just be off chilling with someone else. And
yeah, yeah.
Can you name who that would have been?
No. You're the worst there.
You brought me up the garden path, Matt. Come on. Not tell me to open the gate then. So what other signs, like obviously, yeah, someone not talking and they're all over each other, them and the cameras are on the evening is one sign. What other ways did you kind of think?
I think that's the most obvious way. I think that it's just so obvious to people that they're trying to act different than they actually are, you know.
Yeah.
Just, I think the more dramatic ones, the ones that are in your face are the fakest, nearly.
Yeah.
Like in my opinion, and I just find that in all walks of path where people are just so in your face, they're kind of like, they're trying to come across as a certain way. Whereas if you're just yourself, you're more maybe relaxed or whatever. You're not as like,
High door up to. And can you even give a hint to that couple without naming names? Just a little drop.
I don't know which way to describe this.
Were they into the final few?
They were close to the end.
And would it be a couple that we wouldn't have necessarily, like, it wasn't perceived on the outside that they were like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other hints? No.
No, that's all you're getting.
Are you still friendly with any of them?
I'm friendly with a lot of them. They're all really good people. Like.
Who would you be still, like, obviously, if you ran into one of them, you'd be chat away, but who would you be, like, in contact with or messaging?
Talk to Liam, talk to Aaron, talk to Chugs, talk to Teddy the other time. All through Instagram, I was about to say Facebook there.
Yeah.
Shows how old I am. All through Instagram, like, they're all doing good stuff and they're nice people and stuff.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure when I'll be over in London and all, I'll just reach out to them and stuff and, you know, getting meet up.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a thing, like when you work with people, some of them you kind of stay close and some not, and you kind of keep in touch. But you have this shared experience kind of like that.
Yeah. It's a really unique experience to share together and stuff. And they're like generally great crack and stuff. So when you're with people and you have that experience and all, you're just like, you're friends for life to a certain extent. Yeah. Like, although I'm not like in touch every day and, you know, I'm not across the water to them. You know, when you go over there, you'll be like, let's go for a beer or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause I remember hearing your man Chugs did an interview or something, said he had kind of bad enough experience in there. He was like really nervous or kind of felt sick to something, didn't eat when he was in there. And
Chugs
kind of
had a rough time, I think. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Really, really
and nice guy. I remember like, I feel like he was kind of done over nearly. And when he wasn't picked by Rage, that nearly where I feel someone could have had a word in her, do you know, that kind of, she seemed to get on better with Chugs and a better match in a way.
Yeah.
And she went with Brett then. Do you know, I feel like
that
could have been somewhere where like there might have been, she might have been maybe like led a certain way.
Yeah. As I said, I think the producers might push in a little bit of a direction or give a gentle nudge and stuff. And a little wink wink here and there.
You know? Do you have any experience in that then? I do,
to be fair. I think personally, I had a big experience with that because it happened to me and then I got chucked out. So that
off
was
off the back of it, like?
Yeah. Like, they had a word with somebody and that was it, like, you know. So I was like, fair enough, it's kind of part of the show. Like,
well, so it? Like there was a female islander that would have had to pick who to stay, and they obviously had
they
a word to pick, not you basically.
Yeah.
And who was that?
I can't name names.
Oh, go on now, come on, you give me something here, like I'm grafting here.
The person told me after that the producers were basically nudged her to pick somebody else.
Really? And did they give reason on why or?
No, they didn't give her a reason. That's all she told me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
One thing is as well, like obviously you went in there, like, did you go in there to, like, with the opinion, like, you might find love, or was it more like the experience and the adventure, or was it a bit of both?
100% the adventure. That was me. I was going in for the adventure to have fun, to see if there was somebody. That was one thing I always said, I was open to it, but I wasn't looking for it. No. Yeah. And I said that from the start. Like, I don't know whether it was in my opening tapes or whatever, but I said that to them from the start. So I was like, you know what? They're going to give me this opportunity. I'm going to do it because it's cool.
And, yeah.
Like, not many people get to do it, you know, out of the world. So I was like, let's try it. And yeah, it was great, great crack. Like,
it's a bit mad. Like, you went on a dating show, Love Island, to find, which you weren't looking for love, and you didn't obviously find it there.
Yeah.
But then you went on Dancing with the Stars, a dance competition, to win, to become like nearly like a pro dancer, but you ended up finding love.
And I became a pro dancer.
Yeah. Well, still probably better than me, but see, we're tall and long of the leg. It's hard.
It doesn't,
like,
work as well, like, you know, just like the coordination's not quite there.
No. The signals aren't firing too long down the leg. Like,
yeah, it takes too long.
But so obviously, like, yeah, you must have been, were you delighted to get the call for Dancing with the Stars?
I actually was. My agent wrote to me and she was like, would you want to do Dancing with the Stars? And I was like, absolutely yes. So I had an interview with him, our audition, and I was actually at Chugs's place in London at the time. And they called me and I was just like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm really hungover right now.
Yeah.
Because it was Liberty's birthday party the night before. And we were all at it and stuff, and they called me, and just great crack, and producers are really nice, and I love Dancing with the Stars. It was such a fun time, and, you know, it worked out well for me, because I did learn how to dance to a certain extent. Like, I'm not going to say I'm a pro, but I got to the semi-final after getting absolutely brutalized the first few weeks, I would say. I think I got the lowest ever score in the jive in Dancing with the Stars history, so... That's something.
That's kind of like a title in itself.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty proud of that. I've got, like, that's notoriety. It's like the fastest ever breakup in Love Island history. It's like something, like, it's not a positive thing, like, but it's like, it's something. But yeah, learned how to dance, and obviously met Laura, so we're still together from 2 years, really, I think.
Yeah. Was it love at first sight for you when you met Laura? Was it?
Pretty much. Yeah. I would say, like, there's no. I don't know if I believe in love at first sight to a certain extent, but I feel like once you get to know the person, then you're like, wow.
Yeah.
So she was amazing. She still is, like, and you know, the thing I love about her is that she's just herself, like, from the start. Like, she's, you know, sometimes people are different when you get into a relationship with them from when you first saw them and stuff, and you start to learn things more about them. Maybe the more
they let the crazy out sometimes, then
exactly, when, maybe the more like argumentative, maybe they try to pick on things. She is just me, like, she's just laid back, and she's just like, she's determined, ambitious, but she's also like super laid back and won't pick a fight over nothing. And yeah, I think that's a really nice way to be.
And when you were on there, were you kind of like, oh, obviously you felt connection start, where you're like, oh no, we need to concentrate on the dance first and, like, ignore that, or we just like, fuck it, we'll go for it.
Yeah, you can see it in them prioritizing dancing, like.
Not by choice or by, like,
no, we kind of kept it quiet because we were like, we didn't want to take away from what the show was and stuff, and I think it's kind of selfish to do that from the other competitor's point of view, because then it makes a big story about you, and you're kind of like, it's not, I don't think it's fair. But the other thing was, like, we just, like, yeah, I think we just want to keep it private just for ourselves as well, you know? So it worked out.
Yeah. So you're 2 years together now, so that's
close enough.
Yeah, and you're living together as well, are you?
Yeah.
So what's the next step then? Would that be wedding bells or, like,
that'd be, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
And a little, I know, I'll leave that with you now. I've halted enough on that. But what I was chatting about, obviously, when you were kind of saying, like, you kind of notice who's a real couple and who isn't, because, like, we're obviously in the final stages now of the last few days now of Love Island, and, like, we're kind of getting our final couples now, and you can kind of, like, what I was asking for that from you is, like, obviously there's some couples in, there's, like, we've Whitney and Lachlan, and, like, Whitney came in just before Casa, and she was kind of like, she brought the comic relief, she's very, like, funny character, and she didn't have, she was a bit unlucky in love up until recently, and she got a man in Casa Moore, and they're well suited,
yeah,
I believe. But then there are things coming out from some Islanders saying that they don't seem that tactile with each other, but on screen as a viewer, they seem like a perfect match. So it's kind of like, it's interesting to hear that. We've like Ella and Tyreek, then they're both coupled up from the get-go, from day one.
Yeah.
They were actually voted to be put together because there's so many twists this year that like, no one picked each other. The public voted, thought would be the most compatible. Yep. They've had a kind of up and down journey, but they're still together. And they do seem like, for me, in my opinion, and I've read online as well, there does seem to be a genuine connection there. Like a bit of like, do you know, there is that little obsession or lust. And you know, there's been a bit of mad moves on both sides, but like, to me, they seem like a genuine couple, and they've, what I feel like, they've been together from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then you have the nation's sweetheart, there's Jess. She's kind of like Liberty from your year. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's like the people's favourite. She's like lovely and bubbly and everything. She was a bit unlucky, but lad kind of like messed around a bit in there. And but they've kind of gotten it together and they're still there now. They've been together a while. Like, it seems to me, he's a bit of a snake. And it's a bit one-sided.
Say what you mean.
Yeah. Do you know, like, he's not, like, he doesn't, I don't know, I wouldn't gravitate towards him. He doesn't.
Yeah. It doesn't.
There's something kind of like, off. Do you know when you meet someone and they don't do anything wrong to you and they're polite, but you just get a feeling.
Yeah.
And you can't base it on anything, only a gut feeling or the hairs in the back of your neck stand up.
Gotcha.
He feels like that for me, so. But they are, like, genuine as a couple. They spend time together and all that. And then there's a lad called Mitch. Like, Mitch is like, he's such a character in there. He's, they call him Messy Mitch. He moves mad. And like Katie, who went back in, the former Islander, she has since said that he's like obsessed with Love Island. He kind of nearly half studied the show and wants to be a memorable character. And there was drama with his, who he was coupled up with. He was mad for her. And then like all of a sudden he was saying to lads, I think she's fake. And then the next day he wanted to make it exclusive and she got upset when she heard, because she was like, you're saying you think I'm fake, then you want to be exclusive, but you're doing all this in the background. You're actually the one that seems fake. So there's just like, they're the final couple. So I just wanted to get what your take was and what you felt made a good couple, because I wanted to apply it to that.
I think the ones who are fake are the ones that are over the top.
Yeah,
because they know that to be over the top and to do these mad romantic gestures and to do all this gets people like, oh my god, that's so romantic. Whereas it's more the ones that are down to earth and actually are natural. I feel like you can tell. I feel like you can tell through the screen of who's like who's fake and not. But yeah, I would say it's hard to know which ones. Like, you can never know, because obviously. Obviously, you'll find out 6 months after the show.
Yeah, which brings me on to, like, you could see, like, Molly May and Tommy Fury there now. They had a child. They're now engaged as well. It was big. And there was, like, a lot of people kind of said about them, especially about her, that she was fake and it wasn't real, but it very much was. And they're still together. Probably one of the strongest couples. And you can see even there was, like, Tasha and Andrew from last year. They had a kind of rough journey and they kind of bickered a lot. But I find sometimes a couple that might have a bit of a rough journey and bicker a lot, it kind of shows that
it's real.
Yeah,
I agree 100%.
Yeah,
I definitely agree with that. That's why I'm saying the ones who make it like this fairy tale, I don't think are real.
Yeah. Have you any final words for, say, like, if you're someone is thinking of going on Love Island, or like advice, or like what they should do, or run for the hills, even?
Run for the hills. No, I'm only joking. I would say just be yourself to the best degree. Like, that was what I did. Like, I felt like I did well for myself out of the show. I did myself proud. Looked exactly how I am. I'm down to earth and I'm nice to people and stuff. And I think that was the advice that the producers gave to us going on the show, is if anything else fails, just be yourself. That's the best advice I could ever give you, because if you try to be somebody else, then the public will be able to see it pretty quickly. And I would say you will face scrutiny. Not everybody's gonna like you, so that's the big thing you have to face. And if you feel like you the way I put this is really like, go out after the show, say you go on the show, you do well or whatever, and then people know you, some people are going to absolutely hate you and some people are going to love you, but you if you're yourself, then, you know, that's, you can't ask for any more. So if you try to be somebody else, then it's going to get caught out and people aren't going to like you anyway. So
yeah. And also as well, if you were to be on, obviously if you're still single and you're gone, what like Islander from another season would you have liked to have on to maybe like couple up with, or would have been your cup of tea?
I've got a girlfriend here.
Yeah, but if you didn't, hypothetical, like,
not answer that question either. You're a terrible man, Alan.
And then one thing is like the last two seasons as well, the Islanders, when they go in, there's kind of a social media ban. Their accounts are still there, but they're not allowed to have a friend run it or for it to be active, kind of like, so they can't. It's basically down, the producers want to kind of like stop the kind of hate or the trolling, like either family members or the pages are getting. But a lot of Islanders are complaining, then it kind of hampers their
reputation
or kind of building a large following for when they come out. Like, what do you think of that? Would you?
I think that's that just tells you everything. People are more focused on the following than that's what they've went into the show for. So
you think it's a good one that they...
I think whatever is best to protect somebody's mental health is the best thing. So if the producers, they know better than anybody because they've been through that show for how many years. Mm. They've been through a certain number of people. And they've built a repertoire of psychologists and mental health support. From when I was on the show, it was very strong.
Did you have much aftercare?
Yeah, I had as much aftercare as I wanted, talking to a psychologist and a therapist and all, and they are very good with that. So, but they have to be, because there's so much scrutiny on the person. Yeah. So, I think whatever they think's best, I think that's probably a good point. But I think if somebody's more concerned about their following and not building their building their brand, then it kind of tells you about what their intentions were for going on the show. Like.
Yeah. This year as well, there's kind of, they made so many changes, like the baby challenge, they're not doing that one anymore. There was kind of like the kind of mean tweets one as well, that kind of went as well, and that was all around the kind of duty of care. And then there was kind of some new challenges as well. There was one that was on recently, it was the Grafties. So there was movie night as usual, and like, I think this year's movie night didn't really stir up as much drama as maybe they had hoped. So the Grafties were brought in kind of like in awards, like the Gossies, like kind of like, it was like sneakiest moment or this and that. And they really kind of played a lot of clips. So like that caused a good bit of drama this year. Like, what was like for your year, like what kind of like challenges do you like, or would you like to see brought back? Or
the movie night was hilarious for us, in a sense of like, I just enjoyed it so much. I had so much fun with that. But like, I suppose it did cause a lot of drama too. I think in general, they should just make the show the funny moments a bit more, you know, because the natural funny moments are the best, I think. And that the Saturday night show is just the funniest, I think, because it's just making it more about people and having the crack and like enjoying a villa where you're just with 20 strangers that you just met and just how stupid it is. Like, whereas it's, they make it a little bit too much about the drama. I think the early seasons of Love Island did it the best because it was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And I hope they'll bring it back.
Yeah. Great. Thanks so much and really appreciate you coming on. You've been a great guest. And I'm going to ask you one or two questions off camera as well.
Okay, no problem. I'll tell you then.
Thanks so much, man.
Thanks very much, Alan.
I can't believe we're actually here. We've come to the end of Love Island, the end of Goss Island podcast. For me personally, it's been a whirlwind. I get to do what I love, Love Island reality TV. We've had some amazing guests on. We've had former Islanders, we've had Love Island fanatics, commentators, influencers and TikTok sensations all giving their slant and take on Love Island. And I just also want to thank you, the listeners, for coming along the journey with me. It's been a blast, and really, really want to give a special thanks and mention to our sponsors, F&F at Tesco. They've been absolutely great brand to have on, and Goss Island, and I genuinely love their clothes. I've been wearing them obviously every week on the podcast, but I've been wearing them in my personal life as well. I was recently on holidays and they got me through all my amazing picks, especially when I was kind of doing the cringy Leaning Tower of Pisa one. So a really big thank you to them. For me, this has been probably one of the best seasons, kind of like from the get-go. There was no real lags or lulls like you have in other years. They really went back to basics when picking the characters and the personalities. It was very personality-led. I have to say, like, lowlights for me, there hasn't been many, to be honest. I think some of them would have been Katie McDermott coming back. She was such a firecracker, feisty personality in her season. I know she's quite younger then, but I feel she didn't deliver what A, us as viewers wanted, and B, what the producers brought her on for as well. And I still kind of, I don't think her and Uzi are a real couple, even though she's very gobby and opinionated about other couples in there as well. Also, like, I kind of feel that the likes of, say, Mehdi or a few other characters, like, say, Amber, that was on for nearly 2 weeks, they didn't kind of, they weren't that memorable, and they weren't really kind of suited maybe to the show, but you'll always get that. Highlights for me, I think the main one is just the shake up what the producers have done. There was kind of like, usually there's been a kind of a particular recipe for Love Island where we know that you're going to have certain things at a certain time. You can nearly predict what's going to happen. They kind of tore up the rule book this year. I loved that there was kind of like, they did shock recouplings or dumpings at certain times, and they even did that dumping over text a few times as well. It was just out of nowhere. The new challenges, like the Grafties, I thought that was brilliant. It's kind of like an evolution from movie night. It caused much more drama as well. I loved that, like, the viewers got to pitch couples together at the start, and if we look at Ty and Ella, they're still together from the start for the viewers. So that's kind of a big one for me. Maya Jama, she's just brilliant. She serves all the time. When we're looking at couples and who I kind of want to win, a fan favorite of mine is Whitney. I just think she's absolutely hilarious. I think she's the personality of the show. She's nearly like Miss Congeniality. She's going to go really far. I would love to see her win, but then if I put on my kind of Love Island cap, I think obviously her and Lachlan are a good couple and they're not together that as long. But for me, and I'm not even like, Ella and Tyreek are my favourites and who I want to win. Tyreek, sometimes I like him, sometimes I don't. I think like he's been a bit controversial. He's a bit of a kind of, thinks he's the boss man in the villa, but I still do like him as an Islander. I think he's brought good drama and he's been a pivotal role. I think Ella's been great as well. They're kind of the two alpha couple. But I do think there's a really genuine connection there. They've been together from the start. They've had ups and downs, but I can see that attraction. There is a bit of an obsession. They're really drawn together. There's sexual chemistry. They're talking. And it felt very real when they're talking about their plans for the outside and moving in together. So for me, I think they deserve to win. Whether some people might like them or not, when we think of it's Love Island and it's a show, I think they really do deserve to win. And they are definitely my, I suppose, who I'm picking and who I'm kind of rooting for as well. But like Whitney, I'm going to like, a lot of the time I'll follow Islanders for a while, and after the show and they get a bit boring, I might kind of like taper away. Kind of the likes of like, some of my favourite Islanders over the past have been Ekin and Maura. They're like so entertaining, but then when it comes to social, they don't really deliver, and they're just kind of giving us aesthetic shots where we love them for their personality. So I really hope Whitney, who when she gets out there, she doesn't go down that avenue. She really lets herself be personality led, because I think that's what will make her shine. And I just again really want to thank everyone for listening, everyone for sharing, all our guests, and for everyone in Gosnell as well. So thanks very much.